your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Joining me today, Adrian Morante, Portfolio Manager at K2. Adrian, really awesome to have you on the show.
Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.
Totally. So I'm looking forward to having you on and talking all things, you know, cannabis investing. So Adrian, you've been over at K2 since what, 2014?
Yeah, 2014. That's right.
You know, I know you originally came on focusing on, you know, energy investment and kind of building a portfolio around that. Now you've been doing some really interesting stuff in the cannabis space. Love for you to just kind of talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you're focusing on, especially on the cannabis side, some of the strategies and, you know, how you're looking at the space today.
Well, K2 has been involved in the space very early on, especially being in Canada and having the type of fund structure that allows us to invest in these investments. We were allowed to invest in, say, early stages, look for privates, private to publics. We have many different options and avenues to invest being in our structure. And so we were, you know, I could say very early on in the space. And so, and that's in Canada mostly. And then after Canada morphed into some international and also US investments as well. We do all sorts. From privates to public to debt to all different types of strategies in the cannabis space. And we've been pretty active since, like I said, many, many years ago, probably about 5 years ago.
And so from just kind of looking at the rest of the market, you know, from an investment perspective, like a lot of investors have somewhat stayed away from cannabis for quite some time. And now they're starting to invest a lot more. But what are some of the perceptions that you've seen kind of been in this early on? Any stigma associated with the cannabis world from a financial perspective of investing?
Stigma is definitely lessening. It's just, you know, now it's more, you're trying to see currently versus what happened, two different things. There was a lot of hype that came into the space, right? And a lot of fast money that came in. But, you know, in reality, it's, some of that hype was what was maybe needed to get awareness, right? And to get everybody, you know, and even in U.S. companies, like, you know, I know sometimes some of the U.S. companies start talking about, you know, the differences of Canada and U.S. and the smaller market Canada has versus the U.S. But without sort of that influx of money and all those, you know, that sort of fast pace investments, and some of them good and some of them bad. But I mean, without that, this ecosystem maybe not be as big and maybe not have pushed initiatives, pushed regulatory, you know, like a lot of, let's be honest, people are, especially government regulators are motivated by tax dollars and revenue and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, when you're starting to seeing your neighbor, your state neighbor getting significant amount of tax generation and revenue, you start and you're seeing the openness and sort of deregulation about this, but the stigma of cannabis, you start seeing more opportunities and more investments. So it's definitely the stigma is going away. Now, I think now you have to remove the stigma of it was just a one, you know, it's almost like a bubble that's going to burst and never come back. I think that's the stigma that has to be fixed right now. I think that's what a lot of people got burned holding on to these investments, and not that it's saying that they got burned, it's just it matured and now you're going through a different time versus before. It was throwing money to grow, expand, and then all of a sudden now you have to operate. And things are totally different. Managements are different. Capital's different. Investors are different. People want to see different types of metrics. And so that's transitioning right now. And with regulatory not really catching up to that.
And how do you look at from a, you know, just a lens of, you know, you're obviously up in Canada and Toronto and, you know, investing also in companies in the U.S. You know, how are you looking at the two countries, at least from a cannabis perspective? You know, do you see the U.S. kind of starting to move in that same direction of, you know, becoming federally legal, just like Canada? Do you think it's going to take longer? You know, obviously we have quite a few states that have come on board, and, you know, if you're in California or you're in Colorado or you're in Washington, it's kind of it's normal. But if you're kind of like me from New York, you know, it's, we only have medical legalized here. So anything that, you know, you might be seeing right now, and especially during, you know, the whole pandemic, right? I almost feel like there could be a potential, let's move things faster just from a tax revenue perspective to try and, you know, dig out of this hole that we've created in the economy.
I, you know, for outside of the pandemic sort of issue, like issues and the bad part of the pandemic for cannabis particularly, I love the thematic behind this situation for future investments for the theme of the industry. It's just, you went from, you know, an illegal market to now an essential service, or, you know, you are starting to, you know, with all these public companies now showing that, you know, some of the stability that's going on in this type of environment in a few years from now, when deregulation happens, like, hopefully, let's just say it does. I can't tell you if federally it's going to happen today or 3 years from now, but as more states start adopting deregulation, does it sort of push the federal government to make those changes? You know, when your neighbor, like Illinois, you know, goes rec legal, and you see on Christmas and, you know, in the last half of 2019, long lineups everywhere. You don't think every other state around there is noticing that, you know, and they're looking for tax revenue. And you're going to start seeing that, I think, in states across as more states mature, and you start learning from what the early states like Oregon and Colorado, the troubles that they went into. You know, hopefully some other states try to minimize those areas and mistakes. But like I said, I think I love the fact that, you know, this thematic of it's defendable in this market. It's similar to alcohol. It's became an almost like an essential service. You know, in a couple of years from now, let's just say, you know, when more deregulation happens and you get different investors, you get the investors, because right now it's very difficult still for U.S. investors to invest in this space.
Right. A lot of the traditional investors, they won't touch it.
Yeah. Well, they can't. They're not allowed to as well. Their back office and, you know, their clearing agents, their brokers are not allowing them to own federally illegal touching assets, right? So they just won't even clear the stocks. And, you know, so that limits your available industry, your available, your investment breadth. And so, you know, in years from now or whenever, it could be months, it could be years, but let's just say when it starts maturing and you start having a little bit more stability in the earnings and stability in revenue and sort of like some visibility, and then you have, you know, the defendability of bad times versus good times, recessionary plus good time, you know, that's, it's pretty eye-opening, right? You can say, well, you're similar to alcohol sales. And once you start building, and this is a great time for it to shine and show for thematic high level, like the sustainability of this market.
Right. When you're investing, at least in this space, like what are some of the things that you're looking at?
You know, depending, like, there's privates and publics. Let's just put it, we've all grouped them and all together. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to management team is first and foremost. Can we trust management? Are they capable? Do they have a good niche? Do they have a good theme? Do they have a good plan? Do they have a good background? Do they have good financials? You know, it's critical, because this is, you know, right now we have to, as investors, this is a slow time. This is a hard time to be for all companies. And so you imagine having to, yeah, for every company. So imagine you have to support the companies you've already invested in or that you want, and you have to support them. So like you have to make sure that they have the same vision, they have the financial wherewithal to be able to go through these downturns and understanding the ebbs and flows of this early stage of the market. And so I think it's critical, and be able to have communication with them as well. Like, it depends, you know, if we're going to have a close relationship with the management team, you know, you want that fluid, open relationship with them, especially on a private side. because you don't know what the next steps and or what the M&A opportunities are available or ideas of avenues of which they can be successful and how you can help them and how they can help you.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, Adrian, we had a couple shows ago, we actually had Jason Wild from JW Asset Management on the show. So, which was, you know, fun and, you know, a lot of great perspectives coming from everything he's doing, not just from the investing side, but also some of the boards that he's on. And, you know, just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, your collaboration, you know, with JW.
We have not done a lot with him. We've specifically with Philo, we have done together, but we and our the founder of the company at K2 has done some biotech investments with him in the past. And, you know, and learning about how he's investing in the space is much different than, I guess, way we would. He's, you know, he owns TerraStand, you know, and so like he's almost business operating as much as portfolio management, right? And so we're more portfolio management, having, you know, either trading the publics or investing in a small ownership in, you know, publics or privates or whatever, and any of the or debt investments. Like he has, I guess he has both sides. So we have not done a significance, but we know where each other have been around and we've been on files. We've been co-investors on files that we know of. And then on top of it, now with Philo, we've been quite close and working together. And actually, it's a good relationship. We think a lot alike and we try to add value to you and the team as much as we can.
Yeah, you guys have been great. I think what's really interesting is, you know, in the financial markets and all the great things that you guys are doing right now, the fact that you are able to, you know, invest in cannabis is very cool. And I'm sure you're also exposed to a lot of other trends that are happening in the space too. So I think it'd be great if there's maybe something that you've seen or something new that's coming out or some trending around, you know, not just cannabis, but additional, you know, products that might be coming out in the space. Anything you've seen that's cool?
Outside of cannabis? Outside of cannabis?
In cannabis and outside of cannabis. You know, I know that the psychedelic market is becoming...
Yeah, the psychedelics is really interesting. You know, it's goes along with the same sort of thematic of whole like plant therapeutics, right? And natural therapeutics. It's a lot different than, you know, than cannabis because of the stigma and, you know, how many people are really... You know, it's different smoking a joint than going to say, ah, I'm going to go smoke a joint versus I'm going to go take a bag of mushrooms. You're not, you know, you don't advertise that shit, right?
Right.
You just, you know, you can bring a joint to a dinner and go outside and have a smoke, but you're not going to pass around a half gram of shrooms before you're not going to do it. So there's a social side. And also, too, there's a social side with cannabis that it lasts for the couple hours and that's fine. You can keep smoking. It's different, right? Typically, mostly, you know, with psychedelics, there is brain health. There is, you know, there's a different type of health treatments that are full, that are targeted. And that's why psychedelics are, I don't think the market is going to be as like as fluid and as open as cannabis is and will be. But I think it's very interesting area of plant-based therapeutics and what we're going through, depression and PTSD and all these things. It's another avenue. You know, I was listening to your podcast to Jim Belushi and he's talking about, you know, veterans and PTSD and just like, and guys who had, you know, CT concussions and shit. And so I had a concussion a long time ago, a really bad one. And, you know, I went through rehab and all these things. So I can understand and appreciate what other people have gone through in that type of, in their lives. And like, you know, it wasn't as severe as some other people, but still I've walked in those steps and you can say, hey, you know, like, this type of medicine is actually helpful versus some of the stuff that we're getting fed through the medical field. You know, I'm seeing, you know, my trainer was on benzos and he's quit benzos and it's just like, he almost went through a year of withdrawals of if the walls were like, you know, it was crazy the shit that he went through just to get off benzos. And so I think that there is a big thematic on plant-based, you know, you're saying, well, you just had hamburgers. And so there is definitely that growing sentiment of people wanting to take care of their bodies in sort of natural ways.
Adrian, I was going to say, I feel like there is definitely a massive movement that's taking place right now, you know, beyond cannabis, beyond psychedelics, but just natural plant wellness.
Yep.
Because, you know, all of these, you know, opioids and medications that have been prescribed for years they're terrible and they're toxic and, you know, they're man-made.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas all of this plant-based, you know, medicinal, you know, products they're just naturally occurring and, you know, healthy. And I think that's why we've seen such a huge focus on the CBD market. And I've had so many guests actually on the show that have produced like incredible products that are really, they're helping people on with everything from, you know, epilepsy to anxiety to sleep management and stress. And it's kind of cool, like, you know, that we're in this generation now of, you know, positive change around plant-based wellness.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a generational thing. It's like the boomers are getting more comfortable talking about, you know, their drug use or their medicinal drug, if it's smoking weed or doing shrooms or whatever it was. And as they got older, they can openly talk about it. And so they're looking for that. And then it's also the millennials and anybody, you know, in that sort of generational that, you know, sort of, I guess, try to push back in all these sort of medications in the system. And they're more, I guess, curious and more open to trying different types of therapies for their issues.
Yeah, I think also a big thing is, you know, like we were talking earlier, is, you know, the stigma that came along with it. And I think even years of being in the corporate world, and I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, so many people smoke weed, you know, or take edibles, and, you know, even 10 years ago, people were still just very quiet about it, and, you know, oh, it's not acceptable to talk about that at work. And now it's kind of like, well, I, you know, every night might need it for sleeping or to relax.
Now you're going to a dinner party with, like, you know, a set of friends, and you could throw a vape on the table and everybody's just hitting on it during dinner, you know, and maybe, you know, I would say even up to 5 years ago, you know, you had to whisper to your buddy, hey, I'll meet you outside to smoke this joint. That's sort of, that stigma changes. Or when, you know, you can give it to your 65-year-old aunt who has battling health issues to go to a clinic for cannabis clinic for some treatment because she's just fed up. And on her, it just, even her curiosity and going is a huge step. Who is someone who is, you know, Catholic church goer, and, you know, she was never even touched it before in her life. And for her to do that at this stage, it's huge. And, you know, and the more people that talk about it, the better it is. And the more friends, you know, your neighbor and things like that saying, hey, I'm not dying from it, and it's actually helping me. And more people, you know, you're hearing, you know, how many people are saying it had negative effects?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Like, I understand there's still, you know, there's some people I know that even smoking weed or doing any type of forms of cannabis that after a while just said, hey, you know what? I had it for a bit and it's not for me anymore. And that's fine too. Like, you know, I mean, that's like it could be like anything in life to do that. But it's interesting that people are willing to be curious. And then that even goes through different types of stuff like psychedelics, where there's a lot more curiosity, people looking for other avenues, and because they're fed up because it's not really, it hasn't helped what they're on or what they're doing hasn't helped. So they're willing at this point, they realize, I got, you know, 40-year-old man or 30-year-old, you know, 60-year-old man, I got another 20, 40 years of life ahead of me. I can't live my life like this. And so it's great to see. And so I don't, you know, and even, you know, it's very difficult right now in the cannabis space because a lot of companies have this vision and passion for it. And then all of a sudden it's going through this really hard time, but I think it's more maturing. And, you know, and also too, the tax generation, like the taxes issues, it's like, it's hard to make money, right? It's until we get more of a regulatory framework and sort of tax framework where it incentivizes these companies to be in business. You know, it's tough. It's tough. Like, there are how many companies in California are really making money, you know, with the level of taxes and then the layers of taxes that they have to give. It's tough.
That's a lot. There's a lot of taxes there.
Yeah.
You know, I think just kind of wrapping things up, like, anything that you could see into, let's just say, the future of cannabis funding, like once we get out of this mess?
You know, you're just transitioning from, I think, and personally, I just think you're transitioning from massive CapEx growth to operations. And people want to start seeing some who's real and who's not. Like, you know, I've seen thousands of companies come to me and tell me they're, you know, house of brands, they know this guy, and they've hired some C-level corp guy from, you know, Nabisco or whatever. Is, you know, it's right. you're just tired of hearing that stuff. And I still think it's still an entrepreneur-led space. The balance of entrepreneurship and corporate experience is very tough. We're seeing that you still need that entrepreneurship, but at the same time, I think we're transitioning from a massive growth in CapEx to start seeing some results. And it's coming, it's there, it's brewing. And, you know, I guess advise anybody in this space is, you know, it's the big ecosystem that we all should be rooting for each other to do well. And, you know, I do it with my peers and investors. You know, we all want to try to build the ecosystem, because the reality is that they all going to benefit in the long term. The market's big enough. And, I don't want to, you know, it's, I guess for any type of new companies, a brand is great, but you have to think of, you know, what's the longevity. And so it's very tough to do that across many state lines and spending the CapEx. But I think that reality, once the regulation starts happening more, you're getting the stigma out more. If you can last through this cycle of downturn and show that you have a steady revenue, steady business, a plan, good management team, good, you know, financials behind you, I think that you'll come out of this very strong, and there will be more capital. There is still a significant amount of capital that's out there. It's just gun shy right now because the current guys are dealing with their current books and their current investments, and they want to see them come to fruition. They want to see some results now. Once you start seeing that starting turning, you'll get people come, and there's a consolidation factor too. Like there's so, you know, like half of the companies in the public space are probably going to be bankrupt. There's going to be definitely a consolidation phase. And if you can understand that consolidation is going to happen and see through this downturn, I think the future is bright. Like you really have a thematic that's right in front of your face saying you've become an illegal market to an essential service. And the demand has not gone down in this time frame.
So Adrian, we, you know, every show we basically talk a little bit about work and business, and then we just wrap up with a few personal questions. Quick fire challenge. Okay. Super easy.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Favorite summer activity?
Ooh, summer.
Summer's coming.
Summer activity. Because I'm a dad now. It's just, you know, being with my kids and going we rent a cottage for about a month a year, and so we just go up to the cottage. Right now that's my thing. They're 4 and 7 and they're at this sweet spot where I just want to absorb as much. I have two girls, and I always say to people, they're the most two important people. Everybody can leave me in my life. Those two girls can't. They're stuck with their dad forever. So I have to appreciate that time and be there with them. So right now it's being with them.
Nice. Well, luckily you get to be with them every day.
Yeah, right. Now I just want to get the hell out of here.
Morning or night person?
Morning.
Favorite hobby?
I love playing soccer.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I like, and I also do Muay Thai, but I love playing soccer.
What was it? You also do what?
Muay Thai, kickboxing.
Oh, nice. I thought you were saying wood time. I'm like, is that in
your- yeah, I love playing soccer.
Yeah, nice. If you could get yourself anything, like anything in the world, what would it be?
Anything? And it could be monetary. It could be anything.
Anything. No restrictions.
No restrictions. I just want to keep. Keep my freedom. That's it. Freedom is the. If this situation makes you think, COVID situation makes you think how your freedom could be removed quite quickly.
Right.
And you know, and it was not that bad for me. You know, there's a lot of other people have a lot worse. It's pretty chilled for me. And we live in Canada and I have a couple kids in my house and food's available, but there's a lot of people with a lot other significant health problems, whatever. And I think that it all makes us look back, but freedom's the number one thing I want to keep or have more of.
Yeah. So on that note, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get out of quarantine?
I just want to go drinking with my buddies. Oh, I just want to see people. I want to hug somebody. You know what I mean? Outside. And
I want to. Me too. I'm a social person. You know, that's my friend.
Exactly. I want to see you. I want to. You know, we don't even know each other that much. We met two times. I want to come down to Chicago or New York to see you guys. That's what it's even like. Just simple things that we took for granted.
Well, Adrian, luckily, you know, we got to like hang out in Miami before shit went down.
Yeah.
Right. That was like the last, that was the last time life was normal. Right.
And think about it. It was only two months ago, and it feels like it was like years.
Right. Well, then I saw you in Chicago 2 days before like all this got locked down. So I've seen you twice. I've seen you more than probably my friends, you know, twice in two different states. I'm looking forward to seeing you too. Well, Adrian, this was great. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for dropping some much needed wisdom on investing in the space, and really appreciate it.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Awesome. This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.